You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
We are coming back to Atlanta. Right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
All I ever wanted was a little love. I want true romance, it's true.
Hello and welcome to True Romance. This is Carolina Barlow.
And this is Devin Leary.
We've avoided it for long enough. We've avoided the subject.
Let me say one thing before the subject, because I actually just thought of this.
What?
So I actually went to an educational event this week, and
I'm listening.
So
this is when Devin goes into a cult, by the way. I was like, you know what? Yeah, my breakup was hard. I did meet a guy. We play volleyball together at 2 a.m. and he had me lick a puddle.
Yeah, so
I've lost 50 pounds.
Changing your life.
And that's why I'm wearing this beautiful golden sash.
So the truth is, it's never occurred to me to look into like events. Like, it's interesting because a friend of mine was offering breakup advice and was like, you know, like, focus on like, what are your hobbies? And for me personally, it's blank there. It's,
I like, know exactly TV, what you mean.
Watching TV and reading, which I think are good hobbies, but it's like, there's nothing that I like do that's like enriching.
It's also like not working. My hobby is going into the kitchen at various hours. Snacking at 4 p.m. is my hobby.
Yeah, so
getting a second cup of coffee at 11 a.m. is my hobby. Like, those are things that I like, that I do for pleasure.
So, friend of the pod, Haley Karcher's sister, Lindsay Karcher, invited me to go see this author speak. You've referenced her on the podcast. I've referenced her on the podcast. It's Nedra Glover Kalab.
Oh, my God. I cannot believe... We really have grown apart if you didn't immediately tell me about this. You know how I feel about Nedra.
Well, it just kind of happened so fast that I was invited and I went. And I like didn't realize this is like maybe a red flag thing to say to someone you're like not that close with. But like Lindsay and I are on our way there. And I was like, oh, my God, I hope she has question and answers, because I have a question I really want to ask.
That is scary to hear from someone you went to an event with. Can you imagine?
I know.
Can you imagine going to an event with your partner that's a question and answer, and hearing like your boyfriend say like, oh, I hope there's a question and answer, because I am getting up on that mic. I would be like, I'm going to have to put you down like a little sick dog.
Well, so we get there and there is a bucket and there are index cards and there are Sharpies.
So like, how much ink do these things have?
You better believe it. So I wrote a question.
You shove it out of the way.
I beat up a few people. I have a few assault
Devin
charges
out against
me. Devin
pushed an elderly woman out of the way. He was asking how to reconnect with her daughter.
Side note before we get back to this, but like, did you notice watching The Bachelor this week that there was the commercial that was like, do you have a senior or elderly relative looking for love? Submit them to The Bachelor.
How many years have we seen that ad?
Wait, I've never seen that ad about elderly?
Yes, they do it every year, Devin.
What?
Yes, this is maybe the third, fourth season. It says elders looking for love, question mark. And there's like a field behind them as if like all old people work on farms. And it's like apply
for the bachelor.
I think that they are encouraging old people to continue to watch The Bachelor. And, you know, because Trisha and Ryan season, those people are like, what, 80 now?
Yeah.
So I think
people were around when Trisha was still a name babies got.
So I think that they're somehow hoping to pull in that audience by saying something, even though all we really want to do is see everyone go, you know, to Cabo eventually and break up on the beach. I think that they're trying to hook some older audience still by dangling this little
carrot.
You know,
but I'm sorry.
Thank you for filling that in because I forgot the word.
I know you all, y'all golden age people are going to say that I'm naive and, oh, little old Devin thinks she knows anything about life. But I'm sorry, if you're elderly and you see that ad and you submit to be on The Bachelor thinking like you're going to get to date grocery store Joe, you need to go be staying in a home now. It's time.
You don't need grocery store Joe. You need a nurse.
You need something that you can press in case of an emergency. That's what I'm going to say. But the point being, I did beat up some elderly people to ask my question. And by the way, Nedra is so fucking stunning in person. Like, I was blown away.
She glows.
They asked my question. She answered my question. So I just want to share it because I just thought
No, I was going to say you have to share it.
Like, in my opinion, it was honestly a really good question that most people would relate to. So anyway, my question was...
You're like, and what yes, to do yes, when I've texted a Taylor Swift lyric? What lyric would you follow up with?
Okay, it's like I've chosen to like already remove from my mind how insane the text messages I've sent to my ex-boyfriend are. It's like,
you know,
I forgot about Taylor Swift because there's been so many other fucking crazy ones. Like,
I forgot about Taylor Swift.
I don't even want to say like you some of the stuff
to.
I've said.
You don't have to. Please.
You're like, oh no, that's okay. Stop.
No. You don't have to. And you don't have to say that to anyone.
And
listen,
you can keep that to your little
we'll
self.
Never forget when I blocked a guy in New York on Instagram because I didn't want myself to reach out to him anymore. And this was Instagram in its like first edition. And somehow the only way I was able to message him was take a screenshot of a note and send it to him via Instagram. Like somehow that was the only thing that worked. And I did that. So I did that. I grasped at straws. And then I said to friend of the pod, Little Frex, I'm a Carol, this is something I did. Is it, how bad is it? And she said, What do you want me to say? Like, what do you want?
What do you want?
Do you want me to say it's fine? That you basically like, he's going to look at that and spell out like, oh, she really didn't want to reach out to me. So she probably blocked me. And then she sent me this note saying that she still really wants to hang out with me. And that's really sad.
The mixed messages, that's the thing. Is like, I think that, like,
it's yes, really, the mixed messages.
It's easy to accuse the other party, meaning the person who did the breaking up. It's easy to accuse them of like mixed messages, but it's like, then again, how many times have I said, like, it's really not helpful for me to communicate with you, so like, I need to stop, and then been like, hey, what's up? Happy Saturday, you know?
I. This is what I do, at least. I regress in age rapidly. Like, yeah. I become the youngest version of myself, where it's literally baby needs bottle. Like, I'm like, I just want to be in your t-shirt.
I know.
I just want to be hugged. I just want you to hug me. I want to wake up in your chest. And then I become Glenn Doyle, but it's not me. You know, it's like for the awakening of my soul.
Care of me. Yeah, like, okay. Whatever I said yesterday about you're perfect, never mind. I'm taking care of me and boundaries need to be set. And then they say one thing and I'm like, okay, I'm confused. What are you trying to say?
Wait, one more text. This is the last thing I'll say. What are you trying to say?
What? Question mark? Anyway.
Last thing I'll say is, do you want to talk later? What was your question?
Where are you right now? Okay, so my question was, how do you draw a line between boundaries? I mean, memorizing it word for word. By the way,
you're pitching it, by the way, like you're pitching like a great movie idea.
I'm like, listen, okay, a room full of people heard it. And guess what I heard resound through the room?
Ah.
Okay. So Not to mention the moderator, Charlemagne the God, controversial figure, did say he thought it was a really good question. Okay. So the question was, how do you draw a line between boundaries and selfishness when it comes to responding to text messages and phone calls from people?
That is a very, very, very good question.
Because this is something I have to say. I personally do not like to text about, like, real things. I only like to text about memes, something funny, someone sending me photos of myself. Like,
let's be honest, screenshots of some people's Instagram stories.
Yes, talking shit. Oh, talking shit 1,000%.
Oh, shit.
But even talking shit, then I have to move to voicemail. Because
yeah,
like,
you're like,
all right, I'm not, it's too long to text, but like, basically, this is what happened. Okay, like,
but to therapize why this person is so traumatic.
Like, I can't even put enough emojis to this. So for me personally, it's like, I prefer a phone call. And even that, sometimes it's like, okay, I'm watching The Housewives. Like, I don't necessarily have time for a phone call right now. So it's just hard because I know when I went through the breakup, a lot of people who cared about me, I started to get the, how are you text, the, how are you doing? And I don't like to text. There's nothing wrong with that. Some people like that. But I don't like to text how I'm doing. It's like, I can't even get, well, maybe this is a me problem. It's like, did you see that meme that's been going around of Vicky from Real Housewives of OC? That it's like, someone's like, how are you? And she's like, my life is falling apart and my romance has broken my heart and nothing's getting better and there's no hope for me. Like, I'm like, I guess that maybe I could just say I'm fine when people ask how I'm doing, but I'm like, oh, how am I doing? As if that's a simple question. So I'm just like, I can't even, I guess I see how are you doing? And I think like, oh, where do I even begin how I'm doing? Like, what do you want to know? This morning was good. Yeah, it was good for about 5 minutes. And then guess what happened? No, I don't know. So like, I guess for me, it's like, I don't like to respond to that. And then also like sometimes it's like, okay, I'm watching The Real Housewives. A family member calls. Yes, I could pause The Real Housewives. A good friend calls. That being said, like, I'm really enjoying this moment of like watching something in self-care. Okay. So Nedra's answer was, she keeps her phone on do not disturb at all times.
Ooh.
And she'll call you back when she's ready.
Wow.
She will call you back when she's ready. She also used, because then, she said sometimes she'll respond. If she ever responds right away, it's to say, this is the time I'm available. Like, I might be available tomorrow at 5:15. It's not like, unless it's like someone reaching out directly saying there's an emergency, it's not urgent. And she also brought up that, like, this is a product of our time that we're living in. Like, it used to be that she gave the example, like, when she was a kid, when she wanted to get in touch with her mom while her mom was at work, it was nearly impossible. Like, she would call the receptionist of the office and she would ask for a time and whatever. So now it's like, you can call someone at work in 2 seconds. You can text someone at work. You can take someone away from what they're doing at any moment. And it creates, like, this really unfair dynamic where we feel like we owe someone a response at all times and we don't. She also used an example because Charlemagne then turned it into like, what about if it's like your family member? Like, then it's a little harder to set those kind of boundaries. And she said, my children don't think I should be here right now. When I left the house, they said, it's not fair. I don't want you to go. I want you to stay home with me. That's fine that they want that, but I'm going to work because I need to. Like, it's like, that's fine. If somebody wants to be speaking to me, it doesn't mean I need to be speaking to them. So I just thought that was really helpful.
I love that so much. And it reminds me of one of the best pieces of advice I ever got. I was in New York and this crazy person really wanted to talk to me, this crazy girl. And
it was me.
This crazy girl. She was dressed. She had a butterfly top on and she had pigtails and was angry. No, it was this other angry person who was mad at me for some confusing reason. I don't even remember the details of, but I remember talking to my friend being like, I don't want to talk to her. And this woman said, you know, if she's there to apologize, say, I accept your apology. I don't really want to talk about this. And I said, but what if she gets upset? And she said to me in response, and this is so basic, but I still repeat it 10 years later. She said, well, not everyone gets what they want in this life. And I'm like, oh my God, this female urge to constantly make sure that you are getting what you want, even if you is someone random. And I have to, you know, I really struggle with the fact that, like, consequences will happen. I'm not in charge of making sure the entire world is happy. And especially when it comes to, here Glennon comes out, especially when it comes to, like, my own inner peace, my own time, and I don't have to give it all away to people who I find overwhelming or non, like, unkind if that's harmful to me, not just because they want to.
I know. And I think it's like a lot easier said than done.
Yeah,
but
truly.
I think, and also she, oh, this was another really help. I mean, I could talk all night about what she said for the whole thing.
Oh, please. I was looking, her book was available February 28th. And I know that because I checked literally 5 times on the Apple bookstore because Boundaries No More helped me so much. That's not true. I, for the most part, unless someone asks me for help, I do not offer it. Meaning that, I mean, if I'm at work and, you know, I'm on a production right now and it's, you know, the schedule is crazy and I'll ask people like, what can I help with today, et cetera. But if someone is, you know, talking to me, I can so easily get into therapist mode and I don't have to. And I think what Nedra has helped me most with is really being okay with someone else's feelings being messy.
Yeah. And it's also the other thing she said that was helpful was like, you still have to like show up for the relationships in the capacity you're expected to. Like she was like, if you're a boss and you don't like your employee, you still have to give them their paycheck. Like what you still have to do your job. And so like, if your grandparent calls you, like you still have to call them back. You just don't have to do it right away or in a way that's inconvenient to you or interferes with like how you need to live your life that's healthy for you.
Right.
And she also did talk about like, you know, it's like, it's not helpful to therapize people who don't want it. It's like helpful.
Right.
Like I don't have a job. I don't have a job at all anywhere where I'm a therapist. I'm a daughter, sister, and friend and employee. Like that's, and like collaborator. Those are like
also,
the roles I have.
I've been wrong many times. I've been wrong about my own life. I've been wrong about other people's lives. Why can't I accept that people are the best authority on their lives for the most part?
I've never been wrong, but that doesn't
I was wrong once. And
was it
that's
about
when I,
who should be president during the 2020 election?
I you know, in retrospect, I was wrong because I've read about this Joe Biden and his son. And I can't believe I posted as many Instagram stories as I did that year. That is what I regret.
I regret that. Speaking of men who have no business being in charge.
Yeah, we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to get back to The Bachelor.
I want true romance.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
And we're back with maybe my least favorite Bachelor ever. Pilot Pete was up there, but Zach may have defeated him.
Zach makes me so fucking angry. Like, there are so many moments in the show where it's incomprehensible to me that the girls don't like come from the interaction with him and then immediately find each other and be like, can I talk to you for a second? Like, what the fuck is wrong with that guy? Like, how are we not
that would be the best
shit?
Season.
It's so confusing. Like, it would be the best season if they like turned against him and were like, wait a second, he's not even hot, first of all. Second of all, this guy sucks. He's not interesting. He's not funny. He makes the worst jokes. He makes like dad jokes if like all dads were the most boring person alive.
That's why a part of me thinks him and Gabby do deserve each other, because she's so atypical in such a girl way. On their London date during high tea, she's like, can I put this on you? And it's a girl's veil, like a girl's headband. She's like, oh my God, just for fun.
And then she's like, he is my king. And then like in his thing, he's like, Gabby, you're my queen. And I was like, these people, like,
idea of monarchy could not get worse.
I personally, in my own, like, my truth is that I don't really understand or know what Brexit is, but I want to Brexit them away from ever coming back to the United States. Gabby and Zach, stay there. But I guess it's too late because now they're already in Estonia. They're already bringing their stench to Estonia. Zach and Gabby.
COVID in Estonia.
Sorry, excuse me. I mean, Zabby. She comes back from the date and she's like, oh, Zach and I, we actually created our own fragrance and it's called Zabby, like Zach and Gabby. And the amount of girls who like freaked out over that and were like, that's actually my personal dream date. Like, I'm so jealous. I'm like, how and in what world? But also the
one part I did like is when they unleashed corgis. I was like, okay, this actually would be a dream date if I just hung out with dogs with a guy.
Okay, but let me just say this. So this episode where they go to London was the episode that made me say to Carolina, like, we actually have to cover this show again because it's almost like a bottle episode. It starts with Greer. It's an entire arc about Greer and Zach. And Greer is a girl who I guess is in her 20s, but she looks like the royal baby. And she starts out the episode talking nonstop about how important tea is to her, and they're in London.
Yeah.
So this reminded me of like girls in middle school who would have like a planner with like the Eiffel Tower on it, and they were like, I'm obsessed with Paris. Like, I love Paris. And it was like, okay, so have you ever been there? No. Are you French? No. Like, what the fuck does Paris have to do with you? It's like girls who are like obsessed with like Europe. And
Audrey Hepburn. Audrey Hepburn. It's like Hepburn. Girls with the Audrey Hepburn poster, and you're like, what the fuck does that even say? What do you like about that movie?
What does that mean to you?
You just want to be hot and you think that's like hot, mysterious. And let me tell you, that's the least hot and least mysterious I've ever seen.
We can't even talk. That's how angry we are at Audrey Hepburn.
I'm so angry. And rest in peace, Audrey Hepburn. I don't like speaking ill of the dead.
Oh, no. I'm glad she said Audrey. Oh, I'm glad Audrey's dead. I couldn't be gladder, actually. So, and honestly, Meryl Streep too. I'm like, do we really need another movie? Like, she did Pills. Okay.
No, wait, you mean Marilyn Monroe?
Oh.
I was like, fuck, did you just wish death on Meryl Streep?
No, yeah, I hope she dies.
I was like, no, where are
Marilyn
we? Where
Monroe,
are we?
Though. Marilyn Monroe.
Okay, Marilyn Monroe, my mom's psychic says, doesn't want to be bothered anymore. That people are like, people need to leave her alone.
We need biopics about people who are interesting. Anna Nicole Smith, okay?
Yes.
Give it to us.
Luann de Lesseps. Luann de
Lesseps. Luann de Lesseps? Okay.
Luann de Lesseps, I also sent a funny Housewives shot to my friend yesterday because she asked me how my trip was and I said it was good. Then I sent her Luann going, I've been traveling, I went to prison. she's in the car home from rehab.
That trailer for that season. But wait, okay, let me say this. So that girl Greer is like so upset because she loves tea. Her and her family come together over hot water. And therefore, she thinks she deserves the one-on-one that week because it's London and London likes tea. So when she finds out that she didn't get the one-on-one, she basically loses her mind. And I do have to say, it's like, we have to keep in mind, because in the next episode, Zach gets all upset that like a girl is upset she didn't get a one-on-one. This is all these women are living for.
They've
lost their jobs. They've given up their lives. They've given up their reputations. they're never going to be the same. So this is what they live and breathe. And I understand that. It's like, this is survival mode for them.
I kind of was like, everyone else is being so cool about this shopping spree. I would be really struggling with my facial movements.
Yeah.
The girls are like, oh my God, enjoy your moment. And I really understood Greer falling apart. I thought I would, I literally thought I would do the same thing.
She stepped away.
Take a moment. I have to take a moment.
Yeah, she did. She stepped away. And that being said, so like I started out being like, wow, she sucks. Then I have to say, like, when Zach comes down with the COVID-19 epidemic and he is no longer able to attend the group date with Greer and the rest of the girls. But Greer actually has a pretty good attitude about it. She's like, cool, I'm actually just going to get drunk with all these girls in Estonia. And I actually think that's cool. And they talked to like some random woman about, like, the woman was like just an innocent passerby. And they're like, hey, guess what? We're all dating the same guy. And the woman's like, what? Oh, I guess he better be like really attractive and amazing. They're like, ah, he is. I was like, no, he's not. He's fucking disgusting trash. The only interesting thing about him is that he's related to Putty and he probably has a fucking trust fund because Putty was in Family Guy and has like all these royalties. So that's the only thing that's interesting about him. And
don't you think he's also so drinking his own Kool-Aid for after, like, he was kind of, listen, I definitely wasn't rooting for him, but he did seem very sincere and was honestly very awkward and kind of nerdy. Like, he's cheesy. Cheesy is the best word.
Yeah.
He looks like he's auditioning for Top Gun. Like, he is trying to be so suave. So I literally thought of Tom Cruise. I literally was like, is he trying to impress Tom Cruise? Why is he doing this?
Why is he doing anything he does? At one point, he goes on a one-on-one with, I think it's, I don't remember who it was.
A lot of the blondes have been blending to me, to be quite honest.
There's honestly been multiple.
It's hard to keep track of the blondes.
There's been multiple girls he's gone on one-on-ones with who have like alluded to like, I was in a abusive or semi-abusive relationship or like a relationship where I was taken for granted. And Zach keeps saying like, I relate. I also was dating someone. I thought I knew who they were and I didn't. And it's, I think he's referring to Rachel, in which case zero occurred there. We actually all watched. Like, I know we all have like biased. Like,
she was worried that you were young. She didn't like hit you with the fucking frying pan.
But also they broke up because he just one day was like, hey, Rachel, like, I feel like you're acting like the Bachelorette right now. And you're not really acting like a real person. Like, he left the show. It's like, I just think that it's so weird. It's like, we all saw that happen and we all know reality TV is very natural and real and not edited. So it's like, there's nothing we're missing here.
Right.
So anyway, they go on the group date and then, what's his name? The host now?
The host. Ooh, Jesse Palmer.
Okay. So then Jesse Palmer makes a huge deal over how this is the first ever historic virtual rose ceremony. Okay, hope there's never another one. Like, it's
I don't want historic all the time. I don't want unprecedented.
Okay, historic is great when it's like, I'm the first Asian American actor to win a SAG award, and that's fine. I don't need a historic virtual rose ceremony or a historic virtual snug, as Zach referred to him kissing one of the girls via Zoom, and they were saying snug instead of snog. They're like, did you know that the English call a kiss snug? Should we snug? I was like, this is fucking hell. Like, why am I watching this? So in the whole point of what I'm trying to say, and I know I've been speaking for upwards of 17 minutes straight, but the point I'm trying to say is Greer is fucking psyched up for her virtual moment with Zach. And in her perspective, she's like, I did all this healing. I was really upset, but then I had a great day with the girls and I really turned things around and I'm really learning things because I'm 24 years old. This is one of the most interesting things that's ever happened to me. And my family loves tea. And she goes.
She also says, I have a tea tattoo on my wrist and shows what looks like the Pete's Coffee logo. I'm like, okay, whoever did you dirty.
She goes, I love tea so much. I got a tattoo of it. And it's like,
Literally looks like the coffee like button on an espresso machine. I was like, could someone have done you better?
Imagine me judging that when I was 20 years old, I got a tattoo of a unicorn constellation because I loved unicorns so much, but it looked like a penis. So I had to get it covered up three times until it looked like something that's remotely acceptable in the human race. So anyway, Greer goes into her date and she's like, oh, how's having COVID been? And he's like, acting like it's some fucking heroic battle he's dealing with. And then he's like, and then she says, I really feel for you. When it sucks to get COVID when you have something important going on. I work in sales and I got COVID towards the end of a quarter and it was really hard. And he's like, yeah, so I'm gonna have to correct you there. This is my love life. It really can't be compared to a sales quarter. I just want
to
make that clear.
To you making a living for yourself. I want to shove him out a window. I want truth.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner.
Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But so this is the thing. How did she not come out of that interaction and immediately talk shit? Like, I would be like, and listen, of course, I've been in relationships where I've been blinded. I didn't see what was right in front of me. But like, in no world would I not immediately talk shit to someone about that. Like, can you fucking believe that he was like, it really can't be compared. It's my love life. And by the way, I'm a man who's 24 or however years old. Like, you still have actually 25 more years to have children. So fuck you. That's the other thing. I'm like, this isn't like serious for you at all. It would be one thing if it was Claire when she was like the oldest quote unquote bachelorette at age like 35 or something.
So
and
dark.
It's like, okay, so she has around 5 years left to have children. I can see where she thinks her goals are maybe more close to her or more important than her career goals, her romance goals. But this fucking little boy saying that his love life is more important than making a living. It actually reminded me of the Joe Latrullio character in Burning Love when he's like, dude, I'm away from my family right now. Like, it's just so incomprehensible.
Well, he also did that with, God, I want to say her name was Christina, the girl who had her daughter Blakely.
He
takes her out to a one-on-one. Are they there?
Yes.
I don't know, one-on-one. She reveals she has a daughter, and he says in the most weird, condescending, overly emotional, I had PTSD from Pilot Pete. He's like, I have to be honest with you. And I've always wanted to be a dad. I've always been clear about that. But to be honest with you, hearing this, I'm like, are the producers speaking into your earpiece? And she looks like she's about to cry. Obviously, someone is basically telling her, like, you're not viable because you had a child you love so much. But that means that your, like, dating life is going to be compromised forever. She's like, yeah, but I got to be honest with you. I was overwhelmed. That's overwhelming. And I've decided to give you this rose. You're like, fuck you. I literally get up and be like, I am the words of, you know, another blonde. I'm not going to beg for you.
I also have to say that's also like Burning Love. By the way, Burning Love is a parody of The Bachelor. That's one of the best things ever made.
You can rent it
on iTunes. But the June Diane Raphael season where she plays the Bachelorette. Oh, that's the same season. So Joe Latrullio tells her, I have a son. And she's like, oh, okay, that's interesting. I kind of wanted to have a real kid first, but like, I'll think about it. Like, that's basically what Zach said. And it's so fucked up and insane. So whatever. So he like keeps Greer. And then the next episode, speaking of tea, he goes on a little fucking tea date with Jesse. And Jesse's like, so Greer has COVID now. And he's like, okay, well, give her my best anyway. And I'm like, you're killing people, and aren't you worried about her love life? Like, that is at risk, like yours was. And it's basically the next episode is kind of the same thing, where it's like all about like this girl getting upset that she didn't get a one-on-one, and then he acts like, this is the thing, it's like he acts like the fucking bigger and better person. Like, he's like, wow, so you care that much about a one-on-one?
What,
like,
is all this with a one-on-one?
Condescending. He is so condescending.
And he's so, the male contestants are boring on a Bachelorette, but at least you get like messy with a Bachelorette. With the men, they're so like sanitized and weird and like sterile. And like, thank you for telling me that, you know, at least a Bachelorette like cries and is like, I'm just like overwhelmed. Like, I just need more of that kind of energy from the men.
Well, they're just more interesting too. Like, think about what Gabby and Rachel brought to the table in terms of like their background and their values and like their thoughts.
Well, let's
be
honest,
like,
Gabby.
Well, to be honest, yeah. By the way, I love Gabby so much and I follow her on Instagram, but I'm afraid, I have this fear recently where like I'm afraid to Google how old she is because I'm scared she's much younger than me and it will make me feel bad about my life. So that's just a personal thing for me.
Yeah.
And if you think you're going through something, do not compare it
Devin's
to my fear over
some
how
anxiety
old Gabby
recently.
Is.
Yeah.
So this man is fucking trash. Honestly, I have nothing else to say. Like, the other episode was so boring. And
no,
he's
not worth covering. It's more just his relationship to women alone and his like dynamic with them. To me, honestly, watching it, it speaks to how I think some people live their lives. And I'm not making a blanket statement. I mean, people who think some of those dates are cute or interesting, or there's a shallowness to it where I'm like, oh, this girl's just acting like how she thinks girls should act. Like the girl who was like, yeah, I mean, it's kind of scary how stable you are. He's like, scary? Why do you say that?
Oh my
She's
God.
Like, because I didn't really exactly grow up in a like loving home, you know? And I just think that we deserve more interesting people.
Well, this is the thing too. He also like, by the way, again, on the Zoom date, someone was like, Greer. She's like, I'm glad I can't see myself on the Zoom screen because I always get distracted and stare at myself. Normal thing. I've had so many jobs over Zoom, and the amount of people who've said that it's hard not to look at yourself in the Zoom window, like that's being a human being. And he's like, okay, well, it's okay if you look like every once in a while, but I hope you're not looking the whole time.
Oh,
it's like,
my God.
Shut the fuck up. Like, I hate you. You have frosted tips and I hate you. By the way, they fast forward or they did.
He does have like a Ryan Cabrera kind of look.
He wishes he could even be as interesting as Ben in a music video with Kristen Cavallari. Like, at least Ryan Cabrera had that. Ryan Cabrera was a really bad boyfriend to Ashley Simpson, but
why?
Because have you ever watched like her reality show?
A little bit. I mean, yeah, when
he
it came out.
He just was like, It's if you watch the episodes, I forget what her show was called, but she had that reality show and he was on it because he was her boyfriend. And you can just tell that he's like jealous of her success and like intimidated by her. And he's just like a loser dud boyfriend who's just like, okay, like she's like, can I play you my new song? And he's like, yeah, I mean, it's kind of like more pop than I'm used to. Like, he just like sucks. And you're like, oh, he's a dud. And let me say this. They do a fast forward for the rest of the season and they're showing the fantasy suites episode. Oh, well, wouldn't you guess? Zach says he's not even going to have sex at the fantasy suites. He's like, so I know this is like the sex episode, but I just want to like set some boundaries up front. It's like, take your boundaries and walk them out the door to your uncle fucking Putty's house.
Can you imagine if a guy said that to you the week you thought you were going to have sex with him? I would be like, so you're bad in bed. Just say that.
So Devin, I know this is sex week to you, but for me personally, I want to set some boundaries up front. I would have said,
okay, I'm going to get out of your car now. Thank you. Have a good life. Mwah.
And that man was Ted Bundy, and that's what saved my life. No kidding.
Wait, what?
No, so it's just like fucked up. And let me tell you this. There's other options you have at your disposal.
If you are one of the bachelorettes, if you are the woman who ended up with Zach, listen to us. This is a sign telling you to leave.
I don't think he's going to end up with anyone.
Oh, I think he is.
I think it's going to be a thing where he like does propose to someone. And then like before even the final rose or reunion episode, they like have already broken up and she just wants to be an influencer.
Oh, I think he's going to end up with someone.
You're like, turn your Zoom screen over and he's sitting next to you in bed.
And I think it's going to be a May.
He's going to end up with someone. He's going to be pretty happy in the end.
I think everything's going to be just as it should be. Well, I can't wait to find out who he does end up with. I'm sure they're going to be Nameless Blonde or Gabby or Zabby. But until then, I love you, Devin.
Love you, Carol.
Coming back to Atlanta. Right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's #1 podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.